You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Exiled to the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, St. John, the beloved apostle, advanced in years and eyes dimming to this world, receives from his Lord a vision of the new world, a peek at the heavenly city. I don't know about you, but I've often wondered who John saw that day. In some sense, it is immaterial, but I still wonder. Naturally, though, my mind drifts to the likelihood of his fellow apostles, those brother kinsmen that fought the fierce battle of the faith and endured gruesome martyrdoms, people like his brother James and Peter and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Simon and Jude, and then Stephen, the first martyr in a numberless train of those who have lived and died by faith in the promises of Christ Jesus, having tread that narrow path and enduring the world's scorn and rejection. And now, to have those dreadful images of defeat and death replaced by a vision of victory and life. How comforting that must have been to John that day. To see his brothers in arms safe in endless day, to see the suffering turn now to joy, and ultimately, to see Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Good Shepherd, at the center of it all, as his saints are gathered around him in perfect peace. This blessed vision of Revelation chapter 7 is what the Feast of All Saints Day is all about. It confesses to us that Jesus is both the Lamb and the Shepherd of his flock, and that where he is, there are no tears, there is no hunger, there is no thirst, there is no scorching heat, not even when tribulation and death's cruel sickle separates us from each other, is there loss. It also teaches us that the saints in heaven are not forgotten by us, or are they absent from us, even though our memory of them may fade and their physical touch eludes us in this world. It teaches us that we know that Jesus is, that we know, it teaches us that our blessed dead are ever living ones and that they now rest from all the great tribulations. Jesus is the Lamb and the Shepherd of his church, and so he takes away the sin of the world by laying down his life for the world. He is the atoning sacrifice in this way, that he bore in his body the sins of all men and everything that we have done wrong and the wrath that we deserve because of it. And as the Lamb for his people, who dies for his people, he is also the Shepherd, that he also brings them into the still waters and the quiet and green pastures of his heavenly city. And the glory and the comfort of these saints before the throne of the Lamb has to do with the robes that they are wearing. These with white robes, we are told, are continually coming out of the great tribulation. It is a constant stream. And this is to say that the Lord knows that your life is full of tribulation, that life in this world is full of suffering. And therefore, he also knows that you do not make yourself a saint, but rather that his blood does. For the Lord also knows that these saints in bright array now were once at a time saddled by sin and filled with failure and riddled with regret. He knows that there was a time that they once walked in fear and darkness and weakness. He knows that there was a time when they were hunted by the devil and hounded by demons and harassed by the evils of this world. He knows that there was a time when their life in this world certainly did not imitate the Beatitudes nor follow squarely in his footsteps. But now we are told that their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this is the central image here that is given to us. Now we know that blood is an awful stain. An awful stain to try and get out, to wash out, to clean, to get rid of completely. So it is that our blood, it stains and it mars and it defiles us and our world. It is unsightly and it is certainly unsaintly. But the blood of Jesus is different. The blood of Jesus cleanses and forgives and restores to the pristine condition of the original creation, of the very good of Genesis 1 and 2. So the robe that you and I wear, the flesh that we have, is covered in sin and in our guilty blood. And every time we disobey God's law in thought, word, or deed, another stain appears on this robe of ours. Every time we hurt and harm our neighbor, it frays, it tears, it becomes riddled with all kinds of awfulness. And now and on this day, and certainly on the last day, when we stand before the judgment seat of God, that robe, that flesh of ours is unrecognizable to our Heavenly Father. It is a most frightful reality to stand before the all-righteous God in all unrighteousness awaiting sentencing. And yet, you and I do not hear from our Lord, "I don't recognize you. I don't know you," or "Depart from me, you workers of evil and lawlessness." No, along the way, something absolutely glorious happens. When you and I had no desire to be a saint, when you and I were trying so hard to get that crown to fit perfectly by our works and could not, Jesus took our flesh, he took that robe of ours, and he dipped it completely in his own blood, in his sacrificial blood. And so now you are recognized by your Heavenly Father, and you are saintly because the Son has been crucified for you, and the blood that pours from his body now pours into your body, making you saintly and brilliant like whiteness. Further, to think about what occurred on the cross. Upon the cross, Jesus took again this tattered and filthy robe of flesh, and by his suffering the wrath of God, by which he was unrecognizable to the Father, as he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That through such forsakenness and unrecognizableness, we would never be unrecognizable to our Heavenly Father. That you and I would have the forgiveness of all of our sins, and we would stand unafraid on that frightful day of judgment and sing with joy along with all the saints in robes of white that salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This comfort of the heavenly vision of the saints and the great work of the Lamb in obtaining salvation for us apart from our works gives John, and now us, the comfort and strength as we advance in our own years on this earth and our eyes grow dim in this world and we live as exiles in this life of the great tribulation. This is the abiding comfort of the Feast of All Saints. is that you and I are never alone, no matter how much the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh and our senses try to tell us. You, the Christian, simply cannot be alone. It's not possible, because as baptized children of God, you have been born into the communion of saints. And so the heavenly fellowship of the church is not separated from the earthly fellowship of the church. Rather, by virtue of the Lamb who unites all things in heaven and on earth, He now unites the church, both in its heavenly reality and its earthly reality, as one church. You know this as the Holy Supper testifies to this great reality, as we say every week in the proper preface, and you know the language, that you worship with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. That's your Feast of All Saints right there. And this is a comforting teaching and reality, but it is also very difficult for the mind and the heart to hold fast to. The 19th century Lutheran pastor Wilhelm Lea knows this, for he deeply suffered pain and loss in this life, as we all do. He lost his father at the age of 8. He was married for 6 years to his wife at the age of when she was 26. She died, and they lost one of their 4 children a year after he lost his wife. He knew suffering, but he also knew the comfort of the Feast of All Saints, and he writes this magnificent language regarding the Feast of All Saints. I wanted to read a portion of it to you. He says this. He says, "To me, it is such a joyful thought that I am not alone, that I do not travel by myself, but that I am accompanied on my pilgrimage through the valley of the shadow of death by a communion of believers. Right in the midst of this life's barren wilderness, this thought can dissolve all sorrow and forgetfulness. Yet this communion of saints is no mere thought, but it is an undeniable certainty. I know from the mouth of God that I am not alone, and that I rejoice over this from the bottom of my heart. Unfortunately, though, my joy is not unmixed with sorrow, for death takes away many whom I love. Like candles, one after another, in the bright circle of my friends goes out, the empty places turn dark, and seldom does another star fill the dark void. This brings pain and longing, but I do not forget that these brethren of whom I speak are just hidden from my sight and have been placed in higher positions in the kingdom of God. Those who live in the Lord and those who, while out of the body, abide in Him. Those who are still pilgrims and those who are already home. Those who walk by faith and those who walk by sight. These are not two separated flocks, but one. One before God and one according to their own consciousness in Christ Jesus." When I read those words, I could easily envision them coming out of the mouth of St. John as he resides on that Isle of Patmos, and he sees a vision of the heavenly city, and then it departs from him and he must die. These words also, I believe, can easily roll off our tongues as well, as we think of our blessed dead who have fought the good fight of faith and have finished their race on the course of this earth and are with Christ. You know their names and you know their faces. Yet not only these that we hold dear, or for those whom a bell will toll in sacred space, as is our custom, but also for all those whom the bell never tolled, whose lives were only seen by the shepherd's great eye and were washed in his blood. For he knows his own, and they know him, as he tells us in the Gospel of John. And not only this, but you and I, we are with them, for we are the sheep of his pasture as well. John saw you that day in the multitude. He saw the frayed and forlorn robe that you once wore, now washed completely in the blood of the Lamb. Radiant and sainted are you by Christ's righteousness. For we are one church, here in the world, in this world, and in the world to come. In the mystic sweet communion of the saints, we are with John and James and Peter and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Stephen the first again, but not certainly the last. For in Jesus, the Lamb and Shepherd, none are first and none are last. But each one is washed and comes out of the great tribulation at the appointed time of his God and Father. And until all are sealed, as Revelation speaks of, until the earth passes away and all are safely gathered in, that is, we sing with all the saints a majestic hymn that is chanted in heaven forever. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Amen.